That's what happens when you leave and somebody else has to fill your shoes. Now we got a new sound man, so they can't come back and complain. Did a good job. Well, we've been in a series, and I think this is the last sermon. Don't get too happy. It's not the last sermon I'm going to preach, Lord willing, but it is the last sermon in this series of spiritual warfare, which this one is coupled with the last 2 points of being that generational warrior and getting the blessings of communing with God. All these things that hopefully we went over, hopefully some of it has helped you. But this one, I really believe that this one is the key to this whole series here. So before we get started, I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all your many blessings. And Lord, in a time where everybody that we come in contact with either knows somebody or is going through very hard times. And dear God, we're here today. And we're here and we have able bodies. We're here to listen. We're here to learn. We're here to get something from your word, Father. And I pray, dear God, that I won't fail you. But I pray more importantly, Lord, that your words would go forth and you would touch somebody's heart today and help somebody, Lord, to take a stand and be that hero that you need them to be, Father. I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to have boldness. I pray, Father, that you would fill us, Lord, with your spirit, Lord, so that we can help other people. Not to use your power, Lord, for our own gain, but, Lord, to spread the gospel throughout this community, throughout the world, Lord, and help others that are in need. Please come down and meet with us today, Father. Through Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 12. We're going to start off there. Romans chapter 5, verses 12. I've entitled this final sermon about spiritual warfare as I've always wanted to be a hero. I've always wanted to be a hero. As a child, my parents asked me, they asked my brother actually, they said, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my brother said something like a fireman or, you know, normally what kids say, a cop or something or mailman, fireman. And they asked me, they said, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, Elijah? And I said, I want to be an eagle. And my dad started laughing. My mom started laughing. You can't be an eagle. I mean, like, what kind of profession? You know, what do you want to do when you get older? And I said, I want to be an eagle. I want to fly. You know, I want to soar up there in the sky. And it was just kind of a dumb thing that I said as a kid, but I still remember that. But one of the things, Lord, one of the things that I remember growing up, even though I never told anybody this, is I always wanted to be a hero. You know, you see these cartoons and you see these superheroes and they're saving people like Superman or Spider-Man, Batman, and you're like, wow, these guys are amazing. They're saving people from harm. They're saving people from danger. They're amazing. And I've always wanted to be a hero. That's one of the things that for some reason it's been a burden on my heart since I was just a little kid. I even named my company Legacy Printing Heroes. And so, you know, the funny thing is, even as a kid, I would dream. I would have these dreams, all these dreams. Every night, my son, it's crazy because he has all these dreams. I have no idea what he dreams about, but he'll come in the room. The other night, he came in there. It was like 3:00 in the morning, and he's standing there. And it's I don't know, most of you don't have little kids, but some of you do. And it's like one of the scariest things, you know? Your little kid standing there. It's like a little silhouette of this demon. And he's standing there and breathing, and you're like, what is that? You know, because he's supposed to be in his room, and he's like, is it time to get up? I'm like, son, is there sun outside? I mean, it's dark. You see mommy sleeping? I'm working. What are you doing? And he's like, I thought it was time to get up, go to bed. I was having a dream. Okay, so you got to go tuck him in and whatnot. But as a kid, I'd have tons of dreams. I'd have nightmares, I'd have good dreams, I'd have bad dreams, but I was a thinker. I'd like to think a lot. Most of the time when I would think and think and think, it was probably before I was about to get a spanking. I would think about all the reasons why how I could get out of it, you know, if I could just say the right thing to my dad, you know, then he wouldn't spank me. Because my dad was the type of person where he'd make you wait for a while. And, oh, that's just the horriblest thing, you know. You're sitting there and you get in trouble and he's like, you're going to get a spanking. And you're like, okay. And then a couple hours later and you're like, am I still going to get that spanking? Yeah, you're still going to. When I'm done, you're going to get that spanking. And it's like, oh, man, you're just waiting, you know. You have all these things that you're doing. You want to play, but you can't really play because you don't know if it's the time yet, you know. And so I'd be thinking about all these different things. Well, if I cry before he spanks me, maybe he won't spank me so hard, you know. Or if I go to my mom and maybe, you know, sweet talk her a little bit, she can talk to him. And I'd have all these things in my mind going on. And to this day, you know, some of you'll come and talk to me and I apologize. I have to let you know. Sometimes when people talk to me, I think I have these things that are going around in my head. I have this dry erase board in my room. And if I don't erase that thing and write all the dreams and all the different ideas that I have, it makes me go crazy because I have tons of ideas that just rambling on. And so as a kid, I've always wanted to be a hero. And it's amazing how God lets you, he lets you have the dreams that you think about. And to this day, I mean, aren't we all heroes in Christ? We can save people from going to hell. Amen. I mean, we don't physically save them, but we tell them about the Savior. Right. And it's a wonderful thing. So Romans chapter 5, verses 12, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. I'll read that again. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. See, sin entered into the world. We all know, hopefully, you all know that sin came from Adam and Eve. And it's passed down through the generations. It's passed down because of Adam. We're born into sin, right? You know, it's almost like sin is passed through that DNA of the father. And it's funny because Brother Don was talking about this in the prayer meeting there. And he was going on. I said, man, he's going to give away my sermon if he keeps on going at this. And he's just talking about it and whatnot. But he didn't go on too long. So, but sin is almost like it's passed down through the father. You know, he was explaining the same thing that if your father was an alcoholic, then you are susceptible to being an alcoholic. Now, that's not an excuse for your sins. You can't say, well, you know, since my dad was, I can be one. No, but it's something that you're going to have to deal with. Sometime or another, the sins in your family, you're going to have to deal with them. And it's easier for you to look at the sins in your family tree and get ready for them, knowing that you already have to deal with those sins. If you find out what they are and you deal with them, it's a whole lot easier than just living life as if, well, I'll deal with it when it comes. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. But Jesus, he was without sin. And Jesus was without sin because God was his father, not Joseph. God was his father, so he wasn't given that sin passed down through that DNA. And it's so amazing that this one verse right here says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But listen, but not as an offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man, of one, many be dead, Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So one man brought sin into the world, and one man forgives all sin. One man brought sin into the world, and the man Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from sin. The power of one is very powerful. If you're in here tonight and you say, well, you know, I come to church and I'm a good Christian. I do what I think I'm supposed to do. I read my Bible. I pray. I even give to the baby bottle campaign and I help people and I tell people about church. I maybe even witness. I get people saved. And I think what I'm supposed to do. Well, then that's good. But you need not to forget that one person in here can change the world. Just one. Now, you can either change the world like Adam did with his sin, or you can change the world like Christ did when he died on the cross. I want to read to you a little thing that I have, and I might have left it back there. I actually did. There's a little stack of papers right there. Can you run that up here for me? I appreciate that. All the way in the back, it says Brother Aaron on it. There you go. Thank you. So we'll make sure that some of you guys are awake. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much. I want to read this to you. This is very sad. And maybe when I get to the end of this list, then you'll know what I'm talking about. But this is a list of things. Problems. Small body size and weight. Slower than normal development. Failure to catch up. Deformed ribs and sternum. Curved spine and hip. Dislocations. Bent, fused, webbed, or missing fingers or toes. Limited movement of joints. Small head. Facial abnormalities. Small eye openings. Skin webbing between the eyes and the base of the nose, drooping eyelids, nearsightedness, failure of the eyes to move in the same direction, short upturned nose, sunken nasal bridge. There's a whole list of things. That's not even half the list that I have. Does anybody know what that is? That talks about? Okay. Let me read this to you. If the mother has used a large dose of depressant drug, alcohol, or any number of sedatives, hypnotics, or heroin immediately before delivery, the neonate may have respiratory depression and may require resuscitation. You go all the way to the bottom. It says alcohol-exposed infants may develop a very similar withdrawal syndrome, except with more frequent occurrences of seizures. Now, the sins of your parents, they affect you. You know, this is obviously a mother that didn't take care of herself while she was carrying her child, and her child came out with a lot of problems. And I believe that in our lives, our parents, sometimes they live the best that they can, but we're all human. We all sin. And the sins that we have from our parents need to be broken. There needs to be a generational hero. There needs to be somebody in your family that stands up and says, you know what? Well, maybe my mom and dad got a divorce, but I'm not going to get a divorce. Maybe my dad was an alcoholic, but I'm not going to be an alcoholic. Maybe my mom or dad, hey, they left me. And they didn't talk to me and they didn't train me, but I'm not going to do that for my kids. Or maybe my parents didn't serve the Lord, but I'm going to serve the Lord. This country doesn't need a sissy. This country needs a generational hero to stand up and say, I'm going to fight for right. I'm going to stand there and take the place of Christ because he's not there. And I'm going to be that hero that my family needs. I'm going to be that rock. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Number one, heroes are wanted everywhere. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 9. Like Brother Don was saying in the prayer meeting, just because your parents might have had some type of sin that they fell to doesn't mean that you should fall to the same things. It's not an excuse. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verses 9. What's the first word in that verse, Brother Chance? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. It's funny how Satan roams about, correct? He looks for the people he can devour. Well, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord look about too. And they look for that hero to stand up. You know, I was a kid and I was only about 8 years old. And I was playing on the playground and there's, you know, those tire swings that people play on. I think they take those out of the playgrounds now because they're dangerous. But when I was a kid, I was the best tire swinger there ever was. I mean, all the kids in the playground, when it was recess time, they're like, Elijah, I want you to push me on the tire swing. You know, me and my brother had a rhythm thing going down. We'd push the kid, but then as the kid would go up, we'd catch him on the way down and we'd spin it sideways, you know, and it'd go real crazy like, and the kid would be up in the air. Wee, wee. Well, this one girl, she was really light. I mean, she was like toothpick. And I still remember it to this day. This was in Indiana, Fort Benjamin Harrison, and we're over there on this recess, this playground, all the kids are around and they're all screaming, my turn, my turn. And I'm pushing this girl. Her name was Sarah Parker. And I was pushing her, and she's like, harder, faster. So I'm pushing her, and I'm spinning the wheel, and it's going up in the air, and she flew off. And everyone's like, whoa, you know, all the kids, whoa. And she hit her arm on a bar from one of the swings. She broke her arm, and I felt so bad, you know, but what could I do? I mean, I wanted to be a hero, and now I hurt this girl. So I ran over there and I picked her up and I took her into the nurse's office and they're all clapping when I came in there. And yay, you know, you're so brave, young man. You brought this girl in. They didn't know that I was the one that actually hurt her, you know. And I'm like, wow, I'm special. She came to school the next day with a big old cast on and she wouldn't talk to me anymore. And it was pretty bad, but you know, sometimes people want to be heroes so much they hurt other people to be heroes. God, He looks around and He searches for the ones that have pure hearts. He looks around and He searches for that one to stand up in the family, that one to say, you know what, I don't care what it was like before. I'm going to start right now and I'm going to be the hero in my family. My dad was that hero in our family. Before my dad, there was nobody else. Before my dad, it was not a thing to go to church in the Aaron household. My dad, I've never seen him do any of these things. But even when he preaches, he'll tell you. He'll say, I used to smoke. I used to drink. I used to look at pornography. I used to curse. I used to do this. And he'll tell you though. And he said, but the day that I got saved. I never seen my dad do any of those things, but I know the stories because my mom would tell me. She would tell me these stories of how my dad, he used to be a different man. And one day, he got saved at a revival meeting and he came home. He grabbed 2-3 trash bags and he went through the house and he opened up the fridge and he started throwing liquor and alcohol and all this chewing tobacco and pornography in these trash bags. And my mom was like, what are you doing? And he said, I'm saved. I can't do those things anymore. We teach the kids a song back there in the junior church. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why is it that when people get saved, they continue to do those same sins that they used to do? I'll tell you why. Because there's a hero that's wanted, but there's not one to be found. Bible says, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8. And as you're turning there, I'm going to talk to you about Samson. Samson was chosen by God. He was chosen by God to be somebody. Samson was chosen by God to be a judge. He was chosen to get the children of Israel out of this war. He was chosen to conquer the Philistines, but Samson failed. He was chosen to be a hero, but he had a problem with women, and he couldn't shake it, and he failed. One man, Adam, Jesus. So you can either be the same thing, or you can be a hero. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who will save your family? Who will save this nation? Who will fight for this generation? You know, I'm not getting any younger, and neither are you. But it seems like just about 50 years ago, there was a different respect for preachers. Just about a couple of years ago, there was a different respect for people that went to church. There was a respect for the military. There was a respect for this country, and now we're the laughingstock. This country is a joke to other countries. And I love this country, and I will die for this country, and I will bleed for this country. I love America. But sometimes I believe that a hero needs to be found. God searches, He looks, and He wants to choose people, but there's just nobody to be found. Each and every one of us that's in here can be a generational hero. You can be a hero in your family. You can. You just have to choose. Matthew chapter 22, verses 14. You can turn over there. See, there's a hero that's wanted. But will you choose to answer the call? Matthew chapter 22, verses 14, the Bible says, for many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. There's a lot of preachers that mix this verse up with a lot of different things. But let me tell you that Jesus, God, is looking for somebody to stand up in your family's life. God is looking for a hero in Copper's Cove. And He's calling you. Will you decide to be that hero? The choice is yours. Samson fell at his job. He failed at being the hero for his nation. So who took his place? David killed the giant when no one else would. Samson didn't accomplish what he was supposed to do. So years later, who came along? A little boy. A little boy that nobody had faith in, but God knew who he was. There's a big battle out there, and everybody's just standing around letting this big giant curse God's name, and nobody wanted to do anything about it. It's like that today, out there in the world. You know, back in the day, if somebody was in the supermarket and they used the Lord's name in vain, oh man, tons of people would jump on them. Hey, 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 you don't talk about my Jesus like that. Nowadays, I didn't hear that guy. I didn't hear him, you know. I know my dad, he'd go out of his way. He heard somebody saying something like that. Hey, excuse me, sir. That's my Jesus you're talking about. Oh, I'm sorry. But if I feel like sometimes we fail. We fail as Christians. We fail. We fail because we have a choice and we just say, you know what? I'll just let somebody else do it. We were knocking, we were visiting, knocking on doors the whole block. The whole block. We spent 2 hours, maybe, knocking on doors. Everybody shut the door. Okay. We prayed before we left. I said, dear God, please let us see somebody saved today. Please, Lord. We don't deserve it. I said, Lord, I don't deserve to lead somebody else to the Lord, but Father, you know there might be somebody out there. Lead us to that one person that needs to be saved, that one person that you want to be in your kingdom. Because all these people you want, but half the time they shut the door. So we get out and we knock and we knock and we knock, and it seemed hopeless. We knocked, we didn't even know where the car was. We were getting lost. Knocking on doors, and Brother Chen, where's my car at? He's like, I don't know. And we were like puzzled out there. We didn't know where we were at. We knocked on this guy's door. Big, huge black guy. Kind of intimidated me a little bit. You know, and I'm black too, so I was like, oh, wow, this guy's intimidating me. Brother Chance, I mean, he was shaking. He shouldn't. Sir, my name is Chance Carter. Well, Brother Aaron, we were both scared. He came to the door. He didn't have a shirt on. You know, he had some tattoos and everything. And, oh, man, Father, Lord, help us. So we started talking to this guy. He was the nicest guy in the world. He just sat there. Brother Chance was talking to him, and I started talking to him. His kid came to the door, and Darren got saved. He accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior right there on his doorstep. He said, you know what, my grandma was a Jehovah's Witness, and she would always talk about this stuff all the time. But I never really decided to do anything. You know, it's just, I know about this Jesus thing and this and that. And we went over the plan of salvation with him 2, 3, 4 times before he actually got saved. So then I said, well, you know, we need to talk to your wife. See if we can get her saved. And so we ended up going to their house. We didn't get out of there until 10 o'clock at night. When we got out of there, filled with the Holy Ghost, brother. I felt Pentecostal. Come on! But she got saved too. And the beauty of it all was, I told Darren, I said, Darren, now, I told you, I mean, we showed you in the Bible. We showed you in the Bible. I mean, we went over it 4 or 5 times. You need to lead your wife to the Lord. He did a better job than I did. He led his own wife to the Lord. She got saved. It was sweet. I mean, they were praying and everything, holding hands together, and they prayed right there in their living room, got saved. But the thing about it is I've been talking with Brother Gary about this whole discipleship thing. A lot of times we fail at being that hero that these people need. Oh, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I led somebody to the Lord. But how many times do we follow up on that person? How many times do we actually go back and see how they're doing? I remember there was one person that I had visited for 4 or 5 years. They never came to church. Never. And I'd visit them every weekend, and they came one time. They came one time. But a lot of times we go out there and we visit and we lead somebody to the Lord, and that's it. They don't come to church. Well, they're not interested. But I invited this man over, so you be praying that he comes over my house this Thursday. But God is looking out there. He's looking for somebody to stand up. Somebody in your family. Somebody in this church to stand up and be that. You might say, well, I don't go soul winning, Brother Aaron. Well, you need to start going soul winning. You need to be that hero. Well, Brother Aaron, I don't read my Bible. You need to start reading your Bible. Well, nobody in my family prayed. You need to start praying.
Be that extra person, that somebody that your family has never had. Because let me tell you, the devil is having a field day with our families. He gets you into sin, and then he gets your kids into sin, and then he gets your kids into sin. There needs to be somebody that stands up and says, God, I will not let the devil have my family. God, I will not let him. I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to be that hero that we need. Because God is looking for you. God is wanting to find a hero that will stand up like David and take those stones and hit Goliath in the head and stand up and all the people of Israel looking at him and saying, we will serve the Lord because of one boy. One boy. That's all it took. When all his brothers were bigger than him, when Saul was bigger than him, when everybody had armor on, David ran down there with nothing but a sling and five smooth stones and killed that giant. He was a hero, and you can be too. God's not a respecter of persons. As much talk as we've been talking about Satan, he wants to destroy your family. You know that. But God is waiting for somebody to stand up in their family and say, I will not let the devil have my family. That's what he wants. He looks and he searches for your heart. It's a blessing that we get to be. We get to be like Christ when we give the gospel. Don't you want to be like Jesus? Man, Jesus, he died on the cross to save the world. You can do that. You can be that person. You can be like Christ. All you have to do is tell his message. But let me tell you what makes a hero. It's not pride. It's not boldness. It's not even saying, well, I want to be the hero for my family. No. What makes a hero? Humility. Humility makes a hero. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14, verses 11. The first sin that we know of was pride. Pride from Satan. Bible says in Isaiah 14:11, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, the noise of thy vow. The worm is spread under thee, the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I remember I was teaching a junior church one time, and I said, not here. This was at my dad's church. And I said, hey, kids, what's the most important thing that you could have? And I was waiting for someone to say Jesus, you know, or salvation. This one kid jumped up and he says, to be proud. And I was like, well, I mean, it's good to be proud, but not to be prideful. We got into a full-blown argument right there. But pride is the foundation for every sin. Every single sin, pride is the foundation. See, pride is an expression of independence from God. What did Jesus say? If you want to be great, you must first serve everyone. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1. The Bible says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself
as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall... I just want to make sure that my alarm was on so you guys can get out on time. Just messing with me. There shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 14:12, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, or yes, John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What could be greater than dying on Calvary for mankind? What could be greater than that? But Jesus, he sacrificed his life. He died on Calvary, and he looks at the disciples and he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Jesus said, I died. I set the standard. I paid the price. And it's your job to go and be a hero. Even in his dying breath, the humility of Jesus Christ, he says, I'm the one, I'm going to take the grave. I'll take the pain. I'll take the cross so that you can go and so that you can be that hero for those people that are out there. I've touched many lives. I've healed many people. But you all will go and you will lead many more people to me. Every single one of us has a call from God. Everybody, from the kid to the oldest person in here, we have a call from God to stand up and be that hero. Sometimes it's not the fact that we know, it's the fact that we don't do what we know. There's a lot that we know to do. We have a lot in this Bible. We are taught a lot. And this community, this town, this church, your family needs somebody to stand up and be that hero and stop Satan from doing what he does. We talked about destruction. We talked about how Satan can get you and he wants to destroy your families. And that's what God's looking for. Will that be you? Will you be that one? Because God's waiting. Look at this election. Look what's going on right now in our country. Look at all the talk and everything that's going on right now. You can't turn on the news but to see all the pitifulness of how people act. Ladies putting their gas cans in the baby's car seat and then taking the baby and putting him on the side and just leaving him right there. Buckling the gas can, making sure that it's safe. What are some of these people thinking? But I tell you what, they're going to continue to go down into the pit. They're going to continue to slide unless they get that hand. They're looking for a hand of somebody that cares about them. This community needs somebody that puts their hand out and says, I need you. I need your help. And many times we sit here in the church complacent, not even caring about the community, not caring about what Jesus loved. And Jesus loves people. He loves people. When Brother Chance preached that sermon about soul winning, the only thing that I could say was amen. When I first got to this church, I preached about 7 sermons straight about nothing but soul winning. Nothing but soul winning. Because that's what's important. I'm not asking you to come out with us. You do it on your own time. And you be a hero in this community. You can do it. This church needs it. The pastor needs it. He can't always go out right now.
He's trying to take care of Miss Peggy, and he's down and out, and the pastor needs a spiritual warrior, a prayer warrior, to pray for him, to stand fast and to hold up his hand like Aaron and Hur. That's what our pastor needs. I need that also. The men in this church, the deacons, the treasurer, that's what they need. Because let me tell you, the devil wants to destroy this church. Look at all the stuff that's going on right now with all the people that are sick, with everybody that's in the hospital. The devil wants to get you down into thinking that you're nothing and destroy this church and destroy the morale and destroy your spirit. But let me tell you something. With Jesus Christ, you can be a hero. And that's what God needs. God needs somebody to stand up because he can't be here right now, and that's why he sent us. God needs somebody to stand up and say, I will be a hero. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to pray as pastor comes. Father, you know my heart. These people, they love you, Father. They want to serve you, Father. That's why they're here. Lord, you're looking. You're searching for someone to take a stand for you. And I'm sorry that I fail. I'm sorry that we fail. I'm sorry that our generation has failed this country. This country was built on men of God. Our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, was written by men that feared God. And Father, we're letting all kinds of people and religions and thoughts and everything else come into this country and sweep us down. And the devil's just having a field day, Father, and we're just sitting back watching TV, sipping on that sweet tea. Father, I pray, dear God, that you would raise up in this church some people that would stand up and say, I will be that Christian that you need to be, that you want me to be, Father. I will be that. Because that's what we need. I can just see it on these people's faces. Lord, they want that so bad. And all it takes is a step. All it takes is that hand to say, I'm accounted for. When you called Samuel, he didn't know that you were calling. But when he finally did, he said, here am I, Lord. Lord, you're looking. And these people, they have so much potential. I wouldn't want to be at any other church today. I've preached in many churches, Father, and I love this church, and I love these people. I've grew up here. I want to serve with them for the rest of my life. But I pray, dear God, that you would start a revival in our hearts, Father. I pray, dear God, that you would start from the youngest to the oldest lady in this church. They would get on their knees and they would pray to you and cry out and say, Father in heaven, please, I want to be somebody for you. It's about time that us Christians at Victory Baptist Church stop looking around on the sidelines and watching the football game go on, Lord. And we get in there and we pad up and we play and get that touchdown, Father. We need you, Lord. We need you to come down in this place, Lord, and fill us with your power, Father. We need you, dear God. And I pray, Lord, it starts with me. I pray, dear God, that it starts with people that want it. And I pray, dear God, that you would lift up Miss Peggy, Father. I pray that you would heal her. I pray that you would strengthen our pastor. He's our leader. He's our director, Lord. He's our chief. I pray, dear God, that you would strengthen him and help him, Lord.
Help us, Lord, to help him. Help us, Lord, to lift his hands up, Father, please. I love you, God. And these people, they love you. If they didn't love you, they wouldn't be here tonight. Father, they loved you. And I pray, dear God, that you would bless their lives. Bless our church people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Laura, I want you to come to the piano if you don't mind. We won't need a song leader for this invitation, but I would like a little piano playing in just a moment. We live in a community where the word hero is used a whole lot. I see billboards, I see signs, I see things on television talk about the military being our hero, and they are heroes. And we do praise God for each one of them that have served our nation and kept our nation free. But what Brother Elijah was talking about, there's other heroes that need to be, and that is in the faith. Brother Gary is talking about faith this morning in Sunday school, and he was using Hebrews chapter 11. And in that chapter is called the honor roll of those that are great men of faith and women of faith. And they're heroes. This church right here has some people that I believe are heroes in that sense. They try to do what God wants them to do. I want her to just play something over here. And I want to ask you tonight to look into your own heart. If you'd like to be a hero for God, I want you to come and find you a place of prayer and let God know tonight that you're willing to do whatever God wants you to do, because there's lots of things to be done in this day and time. So you just come find you a place and say, God, I'm ready to be a hero. I'm ready to make a commitment. I'm ready to do what you called me to do. I'm ready. I'm ready. That's what God asked of all of us, just to be ready. Just to be ready. We'll give you just a few moments to pray and talk to God, and then we'll have a closing prayer. Amen. The altar will just stay right there until after I finish praying in a moment. I'd appreciate it. I'm going to let Laura go to the end of this verse and then she'll quit. Gracious Father, we do come into your presence tonight. And Lord, we must humbly say we've all failed you. I'm sure we've disappointed you in many different ways. And God, we're not going to try to make no excuses tonight. The excuses are just sin. It's just because we let other things get between you and us. And so, Father, here tonight, for these good people, Father, we're ready. We're ready to be used of thee. God, in whatever capacity you want us to do, in whatever capacity and whatever job, we're willing to do it. God, I pray that you'll give us physical strength. Give us spiritual strength. Give us wisdom that we might be a good servant. And God, we might be like those that are found there in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Father, they were people of faith. Let us be people of faith. Let us do your bidding. Father, it's true. Elijah said the truth when he said, God, you're not here now in that sense, but you've got us here. We're your hands. We're your eyes. We're your feet. We're your mouth. God, help us not to be ashamed of the gospel. Father, you gave through the Apostle Paul these famous words, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Father, help us to do our part in these days. True, Father, we realize the days that we're living in are different from the days in the past. And people certainly have no time, it seems like, for God today. But Brother Elijah was right. If you just knock enough doors, if you just keep going long enough, God will give you somebody along the way. Father, bless us tonight. Help us as your ambassadors to be a witness in these days that we're living in. Encourage us tonight. Father, look down upon our church. We have many, many individuals that are not doing well. They're sick. They're having problems. They're having financial problems and physical problems. And Father, they just need You. And God, I pray that Your presence will be so close to them. And Father, they will feel what You're trying to say to them. Help us as individuals. Help us to do our part. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. All right. Amen. Well, we got a good little preacher here, and God bless his heart tonight. He preached about something.